Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. I love Tuesdays. I know I say that every week that I love Tuesdays, but you know, I do. I love Tuesdays. Yeah, I think I love every day. I didn't used to always love every day. There were some days I used to just really hate and despise, but you know, every day is a good day. My dad and mom used to always say, any day above ground is a good day. And I know now that they've gone on to heaven to meet the Lord. I mean, I'd have to think that every day even in heaven is a good day. You would think so, right? I mean, that's what we're striving to be. It's where we're striving to go. At least we should be, right? There are some of us who just don't give a rip, and we're just going to do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it, and just make it be what it's going to be. And not for me. I really want to be a good person. I really want to be who I'm supposed to be, who God wants me to be. And I think that's where we are with this series that we're in. We're listening, you know, to going through a series we're writing and, you know, walking through called Teachable Moments. And we're in week 6. And then this week we're coming from the title of Do You Know? And I know last week we spoke a lot about, we gave some good helpful tips on how to deal with people, how to deal with, you know, difficult situations, difficult relationships specifically. But this week, we're going to deal more introspectively. We're going to do a little bit about ourselves. And I know, you know, when they were teaching us in writer's school and this different seminars I've been going to, we always talk about we shouldn't spend a lot of time making people think too much, but we want them to be able to just be readers of your material, make it easy. But I think that's a falsehood. In so many cases, we're not challenged to think about any deep things. We're not challenged to, like the Bible says, to remediate on the word. It means to digest and to pull apart and to dig into the word. And like we ought to, we're just so used to someone else just telling us what to do and how to think, so that when we get it wrong and we fail, we can easily blame somebody else. But that's not what we're trying to do. That's not what we need to do. We need to take ownership of our lives and take control of our situation and not just let someone else control us and some situation just knock us all around the head and shoulders and be cast to and fro, as they may say in the fancy church terms. But we need to do something. And if we do something, we need to actually spend some time knowing what we're doing and not wondering all the time what we're doing, but we need to spend some time setting some goals, spend some time asking God, Lord, where should I be and what should my plan be for this moment in my life? Because some of the times when we set goals for ourselves at early stages in our lives, they change as we change. They change as the times change and the situations in our lives change. And that's where I'm coming from with this topic for today is, do you know? Because the Lord's been really putting it on my mind the last day or so about this question I've asked myself. And I want to ask you all, are you the person that you grew up wanting to be? And again, that's the question I'm facing. I mean, when we were younger, we had a vision of what we wanted to do. And maybe not to the detail in terms of the person down to the letter of who we wanted to be and how we wanted to be it. But I know when we ask a kid, you know, elementary school, middle school, and high school, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what kind of person do you want to be? That the personage doesn't always come into the equation. The basis for the question is, what do you want to be occupationally? You want to be a policeman, fireman? You want to be in the military? Do you want to be a doctor, lawyer? I mean, but when we ask kids that question at such an early age without any frame of mind or reference or even any role models for that matter as to what other options are out there, you get the basics. You know, I want to be a police officer. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a doctor. And okay, fine. From those, you know, big broad strokes, what about your personality? What about your who you are as a man? What about your just your being a Christian? Do you, a person who loves God? I mean, where's all that in that question? But we don't teach that as a matter of course. I haven't taught it as a father as a matter of course, but I'm going to teach it. That's one of the, and I think that's one of the whole Raising Men mantra is coming from. It's not just to teaching you how to be, you know, occupationally. So I'm going to come back for a second. So yes, I have taught my kids that education is key, that it's something that they need to do. They need to get good grades. And in the aspect of what they're doing right now, they don't have a paying job outside of the home that brings any monetary value or any money into the home. I want them to do and treat their schooling as a job and bring grades home that are acceptable, that are high marks, that are, you know, that are acceptable to me by my standard. I don't really give a rip what the rest of the world's thinking about the grades they brought, but I want them to try. And I don't want them to feel, and my sons and I, we talk about this a lot, that the grade is important. What's important is the trying and the effort and the understanding of the material. If you have test-taking skills like I have, which are poor, tests for me are challenging. I remember being in college and even certain parts of high school where I was the one teaching. I was the tutor. I was the person helping other people with a topic and with the subject matter. But yet when it came down to me taking the test, I was the guy that didn't write clear. I was a messy writer. I wound up turning signs around in math and, you know, making those silly bonehead mistakes that would bring my grade down. While the other kids that I would, you know, tutor, a mentor, they were getting A's and high marks. And they were like, how come you didn't get it? I know you got an A. And nah, I got a B minus C or whatever I got. But it was because I made foolish mistakes along the way. But I had to learn, you know, who I was. And I had to spend some time analyzing where I was at and figure out where I was going wrong. And that's really what we need to spend some time doing, you know, with our lives. And guys, as we get older now, okay, I just turned 50 last month. So we're going to, you know, hooray. And we thank God for 50. We thank God for 50 more healthy days, not just 50 hours or 50 moments along the way. I thank God for everything that he's given me. There's so many people who haven't made it this far. My late wife was one of them. She didn't make it this far. She didn't make it this far. And I'm going to take a side little deviation in the topic. My late wife's been gone now. We're into the seventh year that she's been gone. So when I really reflect on the fact that of my kids' ages when she was alive to where they are now, Jackson was 4. And now his mom's been gone going into 7 years. This kid's 11 now. So you think about it, he's now been living more years without his mom than with his mom. Evan was 6. Evan just turned 13 on Friday. He now has been living more years without his mom than with his mom. I put it out there in those terms for those two particular young men because when we look at life and the things we want to do when we are younger, older, or the like, so often, I know I used to think, I have all the time in the world. I have everything handled. I don't have to worry about issues right now because it's cool. Everything is all right. But we don't have that kind of luxury. So often we treat time as if it was a commodity, like we ought to have it, like we were destined for it, or if we were entitled to have it. Time is not something is not on our side. I know we talked about that on our previous show, so we're not going to go back and rehash that. But you know me, I like me some song titles. I do. I used to be a DJ growing up, so I love songs. So today's song title, we're going to do a little bit of Diana Ross. Do you know? And I know I've had people ask me, why don't you play the song? Why don't you play the song during the show? And I'm like, I can't. I don't own the rights to the song. I didn't pay the licensing for the song. And I don't think it's fair to ask the station to cover the licensing rights for a song that I didn't get clearance to play, at least from the ownership. So, you know, if I ask Pastor Larry, you know, hey, can I play the song? You know, I need to do that in advance. I don't just need to drop that on them. We need to be respectful. So I want to read the lyrics because reading is fundamental, like they used to say back in the day. And reading is fun. So the song, Do You Know? I mean, so guys, as we remember the song, and as I mentioned it right now, Diana Ross and Do You Know? And I'm sure, you know, the ladies who are listening probably remember that high-pitched, sweet, soft voice that Diana had, you know, back then when she sang this song. I'm not going to sing it because I don't have a singer voice. I got a voice for radio and a face to match. So here it is. It's Do You Know Where You're Going To? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? And I think that's very profound in those lyrics because I'm 50. I can't imagine, and I can't even remember when I was young, when I was 5, thinking I would make it to 50. I used to think 20 was old, 30 was old. I used to think that my parents were just these old people that, when I was young, of course, but then when I got older and I got to be 30 and then 40, I started thinking, well, you know, I don't feel old. And even at 50, I don't feel old. I'm blessed God for that. I don't have any health issues. I don't have, you know, issues with blood pressure or anything like that, arthritis, things like that. I'm thankful to the Lord for the health, and I continue to bless myself with good health and long life and wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and protection. And in Jesus' name, I pray those things, and I bless myself with that. And I bless myself to feel younger every day, to look younger every day. I bless myself to see better and have each day, and I bless myself to eat better every day and not continue to eat junky food. But when I was younger, I never imagined getting married, for one. I wasn't that guy that wanted to have kids. I was always the one that didn't want any kids at all. So when I look at back at my life and ask myself the question that's been pressing, am I the man that I wanted to be when I grew up? I honestly have to say in some cases, I don't know, because I didn't set out to be 50 when I was 5. I didn't set out to be the father of 5 when I was 5. I didn't set out to do anything other than maybe be a professional baseball player. But in my family, when I was growing up, that wasn't, being an athlete wasn't something that my dad allowed. You mean, you can play all the community sports you want. You can do all those fancy things. But talk about doing it for pay? Nah, he wasn't having it. He wanted you to go out and get that education. He wanted you to fit into another box, another shape that you may or may not have fit in. And truthfully, you could fit into any shape that people are trying to get you to conform to, as long as you're smaller than that shape. You can fit within any mold that someone's trying to fit you in, as long as you're smaller than. And I think that's the key. A lot of us guys, we have problems when we get older in life, a little more seasoned, when we get to a point where we start realizing that we got more days behind us, some more behind us than we do in front of us. It makes us think, or can make us think, that, man, I didn't get everything out of life that I wanted. I didn't get that car I always wanted. Man, I didn't get that girl I wanted. And truthfully, guys, as we get to be older, we're not going to get the girl that we wanted to get or think we can get when we're looking at those pics and people walking by. We're getting older. Now, unless you're with the sugar daddies, you know, you pass it around, dollar bills and $20 bills and hundreds and stuff like that. Okay, fine. You can possibly get a certain type of person with that kind of certain type of lifestyle. I was, case in point, when the kids and I, we went to New York for spring break, and Jackson, my youngest kid, he wanted to go to this restaurant. He follows this chef, Salt Bay. It's his hashtag, and I can't even pronounce the name that is on his website and stuff. I don't know, it's NUSR_ET or something like that. But anyway, Salt Bay is a hashtag. And so we follow that. And I told him, I said, find something you want to do when we get there. We'll go do it. We'll try. And he found this restaurant. So we went there and we're sitting in this restaurant. It happened to be a steakhouse, a specialty. And we had a great seat in pretty much the middle of the restaurant. So we were watching all of the comings and going from the front door. And there was a live DJ. And we, in the midst of it all, this old dude showed up. I'm going to say just like that. This old dude showed up with this young girl. That girl, and I'm telling you, this girl was young. I'm not talking like she was like 12. I'm talking, the girl was like maybe 23, 24. And this dude's like, if he wasn't 70, he wasn't a day. Dude looked like Andy Warhol. Nice suit. I mean, he was suited very nice, but he was not, that girl he was with, you could tell that wasn't his great-great-granddaughter. I mean, that's how bad it was. They were on a date, because the girl's dress, it was like one of those, okay, so I'm going to date myself again. I'm 50, obviously. So there was this old video back in the day. I can't remember. I used to have those girls in those black mini skirts and the dark glasses. As a Palmer, those Palmer girls. She looked like that. I mean, honestly, she had high heels. The sole of the heel was probably a good 3 inches thick. The heel of itself, the spikes, the stiletto was probably a good, I don't know, 6, 7. It was high. In fact, the shoe was actually bigger than the dress. And I'm thinking, okay, you got your great-great-granddaughter age girl out with you in public. What's the deal? And I was telling my boys about that. I brought that to their attention. I said, what do you think about that guy and the girl that's standing right there? They were like, who? The old? And I said, the older guy with the young girl. And they were like, oh, I don't know, Dad. I mean, it was just a guy and a girl. I said, well, do you think they're on a date? Do you think it's his great-granddaughter? Just look at their body language. I mean, how he's trying to be hugged up on her. Do you hug your great-granddaughter like that? Or your great-great-great-granddaughter like that? Or, you know, your daughter, do you hug her like that? Do you think it, that you would go out with your daughter or your great-granddaughter, some child of yours with this skimpy dress on? What do you think about what they were wearing? And their responses I thought were interesting. They were like, they started to really pull back and on the situation. They were like, wait a minute, they look like they're on a date. He looks like he, you know, like he wants to be his girlfriend. I mean, but Dad, how does that happen? She's so young and he's so old. I mean, what do you, and I asked him, I said, what do you think he sees in her? And then, so we talked in real frank terms. I said, well, what do you think she sees in him? And all their faces turned around and laughed, started laughing and eyes got all squinted up, kind of trying to imagine if they could look and beyond the old and wrinkled and in the gray. And we couldn't find it. And I told them, I said, that girl is with that dude probably because he's paying for her. And she may not even be his regular girl. This may just be someone he's commissioned or paid for the evening. Who knows? I said, but the reality is when you get to be more mature and seasoned in life, yes, we all want to be wanted. We all want to be loved, right? This, we talked a lot last week, love doesn't live here anymore in terms of that was going to be the title, but it wasn't. I had to pull that back. But the reality is, man, we can get to the point where, because I know I've been struggling with it myself, when I get, since I've gotten to this age and I don't have the things I thought I wanted when I was younger, yeah, sometimes you want to go out and get that piece to make you feel like you're complete. You want to go out and try to get something that you didn't get when you should have got it, when you were thinking about getting it, and then we can actually then become of the mindset that it's someone else's fault that we didn't get what we wanted to get when we wanted to get it. But since we didn't have it right now, we want to go get it now at all cost. And I was talking with another friend of mine just like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week about the same topic. I said, man, we get out of shape with our goals and objectives when we don't have a goal and objective in our life at this current age that we are now that falls in line with where we are. We're so busy really dealing with a plan for our life that we was 10, 11, and 12, maybe 21, 22, maybe if we were 30, if we're lucky, if we're fortunate to have made a plan in life. Now, so I ramble on that to say this. The plan I had made for my life when I got married, obviously that's gone. I don't have a plan for my life when I was married because we're not married anymore. And I was married for almost 12 years. And so the marriage plan that my late wife and I wrote at a few months before we got married, that plan changed after we had children because it didn't apply to having kids. So the plans in our lives change. The plan that God has for our life doesn't. That remains the same. So in dealing with that all last week, the Lord even gave me a word that I need to be content with the plan he has for my life, not complacent with the life that I have right now. So that's the key to knowing, to do you know, for this topic being week six of Teachable Moments, is that we need to be content with what the Lord got us and has for us and his plan. We're going to talk about this a little bit more after the break. We'll be right back with Raising Men Show.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. Again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and you're listening to us live on the radio. We're on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. Hey, shout out to Chatham. How you guys doing? Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for following. Thank you for supporting the program. For those of you who are listening to the Raising Men Show.com on our archives and even following us on Instagram and Facebook and things like that, Twitter, thank you for following. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your prayers, most and foremostly. So where are we at? We're coming back. We're in week six of our study, Teachable Moments. And this week's topic is, Do You Know? And in the first segment, I read some of the lyrics of Diana Ross's song, Do You Know? And I wanted to make sure we really dealt with this in this way, because the Lord's really been dealing with me on it. And the question really that I'm posing to all of you, and I'm trying to make sure we have some study questions, and I haven't to this moment yet done a good job really posting a lot of the questions. I was kind of spotty in the front, but I'll make sure we get back to this, because the goal that I believe the Lord has for me is to have this as a published 12-week study at the minimum. So we're in week 6, we're at the halfway point, and I think the Lord really wants us to deal with knowledge and knowing, and not just knowing of us, but knowing of Him. So we talked about the lyrics of the song, and that was verse 1 I read. And do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? The next verse follows up. It says, do you get what you're hoping for? When you look behind you, there's no open doors. What are you hoping for? Do you know? Now, this, of course, this was a love song that she wrote back in the day, and I do need to find out the publishing date on the song, and I can even go get the background. But even as you continue to read in the song is really a love song where a guy has left his girl for something else perceived, something else not received, or something else he thinks that he wanted. And a lot of times, guys, we're always thought of to have not be excited about what we've got. One of the sayings back in the day says, a bird in the hand beats two in the bush. And even somebody may even say, you know, a wife in hand beats the girlfriend on the side of the side pieces. See, it's even been reworded now by Drake and some other of these hip hop and R&B singers. But when you really think about it, as we continue to get older in life, and like we talked about in the last segment as well, that our plans change. Our plans need to modify and grow and mature with our age, with our maturity, with our family situation. If we've got kids, and whether it be no kids to having kids, our plan now needs to change to go with you having a child. Or in our case, we had 4 together and we had 1 already, so that's 5. So we needed to have modified our plan to go along with what was going on in our lives. We didn't have a plan. So I found myself when my wife died, if you're married, your wife gives you a honey-do list, right? You have all these things that she wants you to get done in a certain amount of time. Usually it's a timetable that she's prescribing and setting, so she wants it done. So when she passed away, I was left with these things on my honey-do list. My honey was gone, but I still had the to-do list. So to honor her, I had to get all this junk off my list. So I did that. I spent the time getting the things that she wanted to get done. But when they were done, it's kind of like anticlimactic, because it was nobody there to say, thank you, I appreciate it, babe, for doing that. And it looked so cool. She was gone. But I had to finish. Now, there were some parts of my mind that I wish I had finished him before she passed, because it would have been better then. But then you start thinking, well, why didn't you? And that's really where we are with ourselves, man. In our plan we have for not just the honey-do list that the wives create for us, we had some honey-do list items. When we were growing up, we wanted to be whatever, we wanted to do whatever, we wanted to be whatever. But the question again at the top of the show, I ask, are we the person now that we always wanted to be when we grew up? And I've been polling some of my friends, just randomly calling and say, hey, you know, what do you think about that question? And so many of them were like, ooh, that's a good question. And I had a couple of people actually say, yeah, that they are the person that they wanted to be when they grew up. Now, in 100% of the cases, however, no one was occupationally the same person they wanted to be, meaning no one had the job that they wanted to have when they were younger and they were talking about, this is what I want to always be. So that is a definite step, but that's really what the core of the original question as you pose to a younger person, what do you want to be when you grow up? But my question again is, are you the person that you wanted to be when you grew up? And that's something we don't really teach well as parents. We need to make sure, guys, that we're teaching our kids to not just go out and get a job and to be an entrepreneur or be whatever. But we need to teach our kids to be great people, great men of God, great men, great, just great fathers and husbands, great people that people would necessarily follow, so to speak, as in terms of social media followers. But I'm saying in terms of leading, and not everybody is a born leader. I'm just talking about, are you doing the things in your life that are respectful, that are responsible, that are good and a good report, basically? Because the follow-up question to, are you the person that you always wanted to grow up to be. The question really, the follow-up is, are you the person that you would want someone else to grow up to be? Ugh. That even makes my own skin, you know, on the back of my neck roll up. Because if you got kids, whether you're claiming them or not, whether you're paying for them or not, or whether you're raising them or not, those kids are looking at you right now. They're going to grow up to be just like you. Just like their mother. Well, I got to bring out some more lyrics here in a minute. I need to look those up and come back with those for the next segment. Prince. Yeah, you know the song. We'll hold that one for another moment. But I'm just telling you, when Doves Cry was a song, I was thinking, yes, you're right. But when you really think about where we are we living a life that we would want someone to follow in the footsteps of? When we were having kids together, everyone I had with her, she always asked me when it came to naming them, do you want a junior? Do you want a junior? Do you want a Craig Jr.? And I was like, oh, heck no. I want these kids to have their own personality. I want them to develop who they were and who they're going to be with independent of my name. Now, granted, they all have my last name, with, you know, from a birth standpoint. Yeah, okay. But I don't want them to think that they needed to be me. I don't want to have lived my life through them. And it's hard not to do that. Because in certain cases, I know we do want the best for our kids. I know we want the best for ourselves. But in so many cases, we can be rigid in our view. Where it's got to be this way or not. And the truth of the matter is, if we're open to what the Lord has for our life and open to what the Lord can be in our children's lives, there's a lot of flexibility there because our kids are not going to be us. They're not little mini-me's. And I get it. You know, that's an old cartoon phrase from, you know, that movie and the cartoon. And it was the Minions and yeah, those are all little mini-me's and that's all wonderful. It's great to hear, oh, I got my little mini-me. And you know, the ladies like to dress their daughters up looking like them. In some cases, the guys do the same thing or the wives do the same thing for the kids to dress them up like their dad. And that's all wonderful and it has its place for me, a position of kind of looking up to people, kind of as a role model, but you're not trying to make a clone. And that's one thing I always try to teach my kids. I'm not making robots. And when I used to coach basketball, that's one thing I always told the kids. I don't want you to be a robot. I don't want you just to go run to the baseline, turn, ball should be there, put my hands up, or run to the free throw line, stand there, do this. We need to think situationally. And I think that's where the Lord really needs us to be is we need to be, I know there was a book called Situational Leadership that I have read part of it and we all probably should read that, where we need to be able to think through situations. We need to understand the goals that we're setting to get achieved through a certain part of our life. We need to make sure that we understand what the outcome is what we're driving for. So we're not just robotically just do roaming down the street, doing something. Yeah, I know. I almost brought those lyrics out too. I know. I know. But I didn't. I held that back. I keep that one for later too. But even when I'm working with the kids around the house, you know, on projects, especially when we were moving and trying to get this move settled and working in our garage and getting that thing wrestled to the ground, I needed the kids to understand the goal. So if they once I get them to understand the goal I had at that moment in our life, that it was easier for them to fall in line. So when I gave them the plan and set it forth and made it plain, everybody understood, okay, well, Dad wants this done by this time. We're working together. We're going to do this and that and the other. We're going to put this over here. And so we were able to work through every part of the plan until now my two-car garage is pretty close to being a place that's presentable. Now, okay, granted, it doesn't have any, you know, fixtures. And I'm setting it up like a pool room. And so I've got a pool table in there. Got a piano in there. It's a family heirloom. It's a piano I played when I was 5. I've got a piano, I've got a couch in there as well and some chairs. It's a place where we can shoot pool and have some more fun in life and talk around the pool table like we're having right now around our fire pit. So I need to have these places that I want to create where my sons want to be a part of my life, where they feel comfortable, where other men would feel comfortable talking and relaxed. Because guys, you know the deal. whether you're talking to a counselor or a friend or somebody that can help, we don't usually open up until we feel relaxed and we feel safe. We feel like we're in an environment that we can be relaxed in. And so I'm trying to create these spots around my house where my kids would feel relaxed, where they would feel welcome, where it's not just, oh, coming in, sitting at dad's office or sitting in dad's room, and you kind of feel like, okay, I got to ask him this question. Well, you know, if we create a quiet place, or I don't call it a man cave if you want, but you create this spot that's safe, right? Where you can be relaxed, and I'm relaxed in it. I'm not just all charged up about one thing or another, but the kids can feel like it's an environment where they can talk to me and be received and be heard. So the Lord's also been dealing with me on that fact too. So when a person talks to you, guys, we can't fix every problem. We can't fix any problem, to be truthful, right? I mean, the Lord gives us what we need to do in every situation. And there's just some situations where the Lord's like, look, that's not for you to do anything with. You just let it sit there. You have to let it be sometimes. I know, another song. Here we go. But here's the thing. I always tell the kids that you can come and tell me anything. But once I say that to them, I can't just leave them hanging so then they come and do it and test the water and then I'm all over them about one thing or another. I have to make sure I follow through and walk through with them what I said I was going to do. I have to walk the walk as I talk the talk. And it's hard. I get it. It's really hard sometimes because kids bring me some stuff. I'm like, oh my. You talk about that one some other time. But here's the thing. This is the same thing with us guys, with our lives. We had a plan. That plan has run its course. That plan is empty now. There's nothing left in that plan. So it's time for us to step up and step back and say, what's next, Lord? What's next for me? What's next for this stage of my life? And, you know, sometimes we ask the Lord for things and we're just talking. Like parrots and chimpanzees are just making all this squawking noise. Sometimes we just need to stop. And I know that, you know, especially old school church, we talked about fasting and praying each and every day. I know, that's another song. I got you. But do we do it? Do we actually sit in a room sometime quiet with the TV off? Do we get off of social media, take a fast from that and spend some time not trying to click and scroll and like and whatever? And we just sit and wander and talk to God and then listen for the answer and the stillness and the quiet. I know sometimes when guys are trying to date and, you know, trying to get at this girl and trying to get her attention, we're always trying to be talking, get her to talk and, you know, trying to, you know, spend that time trying to hear about her. And man, I tell you what, if we try to even seek after God in the same way, Lord, I just want to know you. I just need to know everything about you, everything you can and show me for this time. Show me about me. And I want to listen. I want to sit back and listen intently. Because, guys, when you're trying to date that girl, we were trying to get at her. We're trying to get her attention. You're trying to learn everything about her, favorite color, what she likes to do, your hopes and dreams, what she wanted to be when she grew up, who she wanted to be, her first car, first date, you know, first kiss, and all these things that you want to know about her. So you can know that you're listening to her, that you like her style, that you're not only just hearing the words coming out of her mouth, but you understand you hear her heart behind those words. And then, guys, okay, we say that, but that's at the dating, courting stage. And then at some point we kind of stop. And I don't know where that is and why that is, but we kind of stop listening. Now, it may in some cases be the case where we may think that the lady we were with is not saying anything worth listening to, but that's not true. We're not saying anything also that they shouldn't be listening to, but maybe it's the way in which we communicate with each other. But that's the thing. When that plan that we had in those relationships changes and shifts, we need to be able to change and shift with it and actually rework the plan. Because if we fail to plan, then we definitely plan to fail. And I don't want any of us to continue to fail. I don't want to continue to fail. At 50 years old, yeah, the Lord blessed me. He may not give me another 50. But he's definitely not probably going to give me the same type of 50 I had the first time. I was definitely stronger, definitely leaner, and definitely was meaner. I don't know, some people may think that I'm meaner now than I was a few years ago, and that's probably true. But I'm definitely not as mean as I was when I was 21, 23. It didn't matter. If you were coming at me at 23, 21. Oh, man, I had something for you. I was a fighter. It didn't matter where I fought. Club, school, it didn't matter. On the street, supermarket, you said something to me sideways, it was on. I'm blessed God, I'm delivered from that. I delivered from road rage, even though we had a little problem with that about a week ago. People used to cut me off on the highway when I was early with my license and, you know, flip me off or whatever. And we used to follow them until one of us ran out of gas. And we had a conversation about what they just did. But that's not the way we need to do that. You can't be doing that now with a carload of kids or personalized plates that are easy to find and easy to remember. Planning. Do we know about ourselves? Do we know how we've changed over the years? Things that have catastrophically changed in our life have caused us to change. I'm not the same person that I was 7 years ago when my wife was sick. I'm not the same man I was the moment she died. I'm not doggone sure not the same guy that I was before I got married to her. Wasn't the same guy after we had our first, second, third, fourth kid together. So what makes any of us think that any of the planning that we were doing during those times are still valid now? I challenge all of us, myself included, to fast and pray. Ask the Lord, what's the plan for our life? Now, in this stage, this season of our lives, as we use the fancy church word to say, the season of our lives. Because until we find out what that plan is, we're going to be failing miserably at whatever we're doing. I almost didn't even record this show because, bless God, I'm working at this place where it's really busy right now. So much so that I can feel like I'm overwhelmed at various parts of the day. In fact, I got overwhelmed again during a meeting I just was in with this. Our team meetings are twice a day, 8 in the morning and then 9 p.m. at night. And our teams are international teams and it's just challenging. I'm back in the workforce after a few years, back deep into a technology that I don't know, but I'm the manager of the customer support desk. I'm helping them create out of nothing. And that's what God does, right? He creates something out of nothing. So Lord, I've already given you this project and let me rededicate it to the Lord. So Lord, I dedicate all the projects of my hand that you give me, whether it be writing or the show or my kids or whatever contract you've given me, God, I dedicate those all back to you. And so you can take over, so you can lead them. And then Lord, you tell me how to do them. How to help customers, how to lead, how to write, what to say, what not to say on everything that you do. How to parent. When to speak, not to speak. When to take them to ice cream, when not. When to give them water. When to serve vegetables and when to serve sweet. God, and that's what I pray for all of the men and women, actually, that all the people who are listening. God, I pray that we all spend the time seeking after you and your way so we would already know. Now, granted, we're not going to know all of the things that we're supposed to know. But we're going to know some of them. We're going to know in part. Even a prophet knows in part about his own situation. But we don't know anything, and we won't know anything if we don't ask. So God, I'm asking you to teach us, show us, speak to us, speak clearly to us. So when we look back behind us, that we don't see those open doors of opportunity that we missed out on and long for them to be a part of our life. That's what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back and she longed for being back where she was. And you already know the story, but those who don't know the story, when they were told to exit Sodom and Gomorrah before the two angels were going to destroy the city, Lot was given specific instructions like you and your family, your kind, and you flee the city. Don't look back, because if you look back, you're going to be stuck. And so, basically, they weren't given the commandments to what was going to happen. They just were told, don't look back. Just you keep running. Don't look back. But Lot's wife turned. She looked back. She longed for where she was. And she was stuck there. And that's what happens to so many of us, especially us men. We look back, keep that ex-girlfriend's number and following her on social media, and you look at her pictures and wonder what it would have been like to have been with her. We talk through some old lovers we used to be with, and you're thinking, man, I wonder what that would have been like to have been with them instead of who I was with or am right now. And we're looking back, and man, if I hadn't had this kid, if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't took that job, if I hadn't done this, we're looking back, longing to be there. And we get stuck there instead of being where we are right now. I know when the wife died, I told the kids, again, I think I've told this story at least once or twice before. I didn't know what else to do. And I was a coach. So I got into coach modes. And I was like, had the kids all around me. I was like, all right, guys, no matter what, I know mom's passed away, but we're going to make this thing work. And every day we're going to get up, we're going to shower, we're going to brush our teeth, and we're just going to keep on going no matter what. Okay, granted, that was probably a great thing to coach and say, a great speech. But even when she was alive, we didn't wash our bodies every day or brush our teeth every day, because there's some moments when we're on vacation and we're sitting back in the house when we're not doing that. And I get it. There's some moments when that's appropriate. But doggone it, we already know. There's so many days that we can smell salty like yesterday. We need to brush our teeth. We need to wash our body. We need to get up. We need to pray. We need to ask the Lord where we need to be and what we need to be and who we need to be in this season. So the next thing, we're going to give some tools and some keys as to what we should do and some scriptures that are based on that till we find out where to be and how to be. And maybe even try to hear the Lord's voice if you don't already know. Again, you're listening to The Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, everybody, this is Craig again. I've never done a PSA before. This is my first one, but this cost is more than worth it. Nikki Dodds, a good friend of mine from years ago, her house burned down. She lost everything, but they're still staying in the burnout home. The ceiling's caving in, two boys staying in there, a mother, and they've lost everything. She's got a GoFundMe going on right now. Check our social media and listen to her story and let the Lord lead you. If you can help, please do.
My name is Nikki. I have three kids. The two youngest are with me. One's 21, the other is 13. On Friday, we woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Someone had stuffed a mattress under a car in the back and set the car on fire. And when the car exploded, it hit the house and it burnt the house down. So my boys and I didn't have anywhere to go. And the only shelters that were around don't take any animals. And because of the age difference, my boys would have been split up, and they would have been split up with me. I would have to go to a woman's shelter, and then they would have to go separate places, and then, of course, the animals would have had to go somewhere else. So to keep my family together, we're still living in the house right now. So my girlfriend started a GoFundMe, and we are just trying to get some money together so that we can get out of this house. The roof is starting to fall in. We can still smell fire, and it's just, I don't know what we're breathing in. So I really just want to get my family out of here as quickly as possible.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Final segment, final 12 minutes. Let's get it in. When I spent time researching for the show, I called a couple of, you know, guys I knew, and even called some ladies that I knew that I respected and that I needed their opinion. And it wasn't like I didn't. So if I didn't call you, don't think it's like, oh my God, you don't respect me. Well, no, it was just the Lord led me to the people who I spoke to. And those are the people who we spoke to. So no disrespect to anybody I didn't call. I mean, it's hopefully next time we'll get you on research for another show. Lord willing, the show will be on a long time. And as long as, you know, Pastor Larry, you know, would have me on the show, and eventually, Lord, provide a few platforms for me, and looking for syndication. So pray for that as well. So here are the tools that we're looking for. Out of the consensus to what the Lord has been given, more like confirmation to what the Lord has been given. So it came through several witnesses. And so we talked about, when I was talking to people, what do you really want? What do you think you'd be better with as a tool to help men develop and do better with what they should know and how they should plan in this particular season of our lives. And what it came down to is the old adage, if we need to have a Paul and a Timothy. And I know a couple of us that I spoke with, we kind of went round and round, and one of my friends in particular, we went round and round with the whole concept of a Paul and a Timothy. And I know there's some hardliners out there that really believe that we should have a singular person in our life to do our mentoring with or sharing with. But what it really comes down to is that, guys, we need to not isolate ourselves. We really do an excellent job at that and putting ourselves in a space where we're all alone. And I know some time ago, a few years ago, the Lord gave me a word, and I put it on my lactose intolerance page where I post my devotionals and other spiritually excitable type of writings. Eventually, it'll be the name of my publishing company. But out there, the Lord gave me the word that islands are for vacation, not isolation. And we as men, we put ourselves on an island so much. And we even use the term in football when you're talking about a quarterback. You know, putting your quarterback out there on an island, that's one-on-one coverage. So the quarterback can really pick you apart. If you don't have good four being that corner, and if you don't have safety over the top help, you're going to be on the island by yourself. And usually those lockdown corners like, Prime Time and, other lockdown corners back in the day, they relish that opportunity to be on that island by themselves. And we're taught as men as to do things on our own, and it's all about us, so we can get it. Let's get it in. But the odd thing is, we're saying the let's, that is an apostrophe. Let us get it in. There's the us there. There's the plural there. Let's not be by ourselves. You never hear anybody say, oh, let me get it in. Well, if you do say that, well, that's got a whole different context than what we're talking about and who we're talking about getting it in with. So, but we're talking about it here in the sense of being isolated. When we find ourselves isolated and by ourselves, we don't have any counter opinion, any other thoughts or word or even guidance to help us along the way. We just kind of take what we hear in our head. And so often we allow the enemy to give us that self-talk in our head that we're so confused sometimes and not quite sure where we're going to be from one moment to the next. And you can't always hear the depth of the conversation. It's like wearing headphones. Okay, fine. I've been an audio engineer for years and years, and I've recorded, I've mixed, I've recorded and mixed again and mixed again. And you only use headphones when you're singing and tracking, or if you're trying to hear something really fine that you're trying to develop some type of sound with, and you're kind of replicating some other piece. But when you really want to get the mix right, you actually have to sit away from the speakers. You have to create space and distance to be able to hear it all develop, because you can't hear the separation, the depth, and the clarity if you're wearing headphones. It's just not enough space in there. I mean, I know some people call me Big Head. Shout out to a friend of mine. That's my nickname from them. I don't like the nickname, so don't put that on social media or anything. Don't email me that when I'm not going to respond. I'm sorry, not going to do that. But in our heads may be big at times, but they're not that big. There's not enough depth and space in there to be able to really hear the separation in the words and sometimes understand that that's not the word of the Lord speaking to us. And I know we need to learn about and teach about how we hear from the Lord and how we hear from God. Well, it was a great study I did years and years ago. I took it a couple of times and I've led it a couple of times. It's experiencing God. Oh. It's a life-changing study, 12-week study. And the first week, I know when I lead the study, I always try to have the guys go for the first 3 weeks of the lesson, taking that walk that I encourage you to do and spend the time alone. And I know I've shared this before on several episodes of the Raising Men show, is that we need to spend some time away. Now, I'm not talking about isolated. I'm talking about with God, purposefully seeking and asking God to speak to us and teach us how He speaks to us, so we understand how His voice manifests to us. If it's, is it images? Is it audible? Is it, I don't know, is it colors? Is it symbols? Is it shapes? Is it ideas? We need to know. And if you don't know how the Lord speaks to you, then you need to ask, Lord, how do you speak to me? I need to know, because that's a game changer. When you understand how the Lord speaks to you, how He manifests to you, then you can never be shaken and misunderstood about when you feel the Lord leading you to do one thing or another. It's all about confidence in knowing who you are. And that's why the topic of week six is, do you know? Do you know how God speaks to you? Because you really, really need to get that in your mind, in your gut, in everything that you are. I mean, we're using that Olivia Pope, in your gut, in your gut kind of philosophy. You've got to know, because when the enemy starts to talk to you, is that God? Are you sure? You can't afford to trip and slip and be confused as to, you know, whether I had gas and pizza for the night before, or if I really heard God tell me to pack up my children and move across the country, or sell all my possessions, or what should I do with my money, and what should I do with my time? Should I fast? Should I not fast? Should I walk to the top of a mountain? There's so many things in our minds every day that the Lord either wants us to be silent and listen to, respond right now, or file it away later for a later time. There's words that the Lord gives us for other people, and there's words that other people give to us that we really need to take some time understanding. You can't take the time to understand something that you don't understand. Now, I don't understand. I use the same word to define itself. Language, for instance, it only has meaning if everyone that's around has the same definition of a word, of a phrase. So as I'm sitting here talking, and no, I know I'm talking fast. I'm trying to slow it down. I know I hear Leroy's voice in my head. Slow down, man, slow down. So here's the thing. If even with me talking fast, if I don't use words that make sense in a language that you know of, then you're not able to, we don't have a common language and a common bond. So if we're concerned about what the Lord is saying to us, and we don't know what the Lord is saying to us because we don't know how we speak and we don't know the language that the Lord is using in our lives, then we don't know when it's Him speaking to us. And those critical key moments when we need to make a decision whether to go left or to go right, to say yes or to say no, to not say anything at all, to stand up, to sit down, to fight or to flight, we need to understand, God, what do you have for me to do and to say in this season? How do you speak to me? And I promise you, if you ask Him sincerely, with all that you have, with all honesty, He'll answer. There's moments, I'm sure, when you kind of wonder, man, I don't even know if the Lord hears me. I'm not even sure if my words are getting beyond the ceiling of the room that I'm in. And if you're out in the open talking, if you're not asking God something or saying something to Him from a sincere point of view, you know, He doesn't deal with liars. He doesn't deal with people who, well, he deals harshly, yes, but your prayers cannot be released if you handcuff God's response. He can't deal with it in a fear-based, fear-laden request. He can't answer you from a perspective of questioning and insecurity. Now, and again, I understand the whole thought of that Roman soldier said, you know, hey, God, forgive my unbelief. Now, those are sincere requests. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not believing right now. I'm afraid. So, Lord, take that sincere request and statement that I'm afraid. I don't know what to do right here. Or, Lord, you know, I don't know how you speak to me. I need to know. And then you wait and you sit quiet. Whenever time you hear the extra words and phrases in your head and you think you want to ask God another question, fall silent, shake them off, press them away. Give those thoughts over to the Lord and sit still. Sometimes you might even have to fast and do nothing but water. So you drink nothing but water. Eat ice cubes if you have to. Because if just like fellas, when we want to get that girl's attention so bad, we would do anything for her. We need to have that same kind of passion as it relates to God. God, I need to hear from you. Because the truth is, we can't get married and lead a family and try to lead a wife where God would have us to go if we don't know God. And it's so often, so many women have a better relationship with Christ than we do because they're in church. Now, some of them are in church, you know, looking for a man. I get it. And why do you think so most of us are there? Some of us are at clubs looking for love on anything. Internet, Instagram, Facebook. I've seen people turn Facebook into the biggest dating site I've ever seen. But, you know, that's another story. But we've got to find a community. So let's talk quickly about the Paul and Timothy philosophy, having people in our life. And we're not saying Paul is a singular person, Paul, but Paul's plural in our lives. People that are our peers, someone that we respect. If it could be someone older than us, age-wise, it could be someone at our same age, age-wise, but it also could be someone that's more seasoned in the spirit than we are, more closer and more in tune to God than we are, or a person who is at a point where they can speak into our life that we respect, that we can accept things from them easier, from that harsh word or that really encouraging one when we're really down, and those moments when we really need to have to pour our heart out to someone to really hear our junk. And then there's the Timothy, there's the younger person, maybe younger in Christ, younger by age or whatever, and younger by situation. What we're pouring ourselves into from a mentoring standpoint, and it could be more than one. Again, in my house, I got four in the house right now, and I got one that lives outside the house. And there's other people that I mentor and that I stay connected with that are from various churches where I've been affiliated with, or different organizations, or just around that the Lord has connected me with. So what do we need? So guys, first you need to make sure we understand how the Lord speaks to us. Confirm it. When you think you got it, ask the Lord to confirm it. It's okay. Test the Lord that way. Lord, if that's the way you speak to me, then show me again. Passage in the Bible, so, you know, when the prophet needed confirmation, he said, Lord, I need confirmation. Do it again. So I'm going to put the fleece on the ground and the fleece on the grass. And Lord, in the morning, make the grass wet and the fleece dry. Okay, then the Lord did that. So I know that was the answer. Okay, Lord, can you confirm that? So this time, make the fleece wet and the grass dry. So I know then that that's the way I'm supposed to do it. Those are the kind of things we need to do in helpful tools. And when we find people in our lives that we can grow and nurture with, get them, help them. Help them help you. Be open, be vulnerable to who we are. End of the show. I'm going to play something. I got a friend of mine whose house burned down. Her name is Nicole Dodds, Nikki Dodds. She's out of Atlanta, Georgia. She's got a GoFundMe account. I'm going to post the GoFundMe information on my social media feeds. I'm going to play a plea from her as the show is exiting, instead of playing my normal advertisers, because this is more than worth it. This lady has two sons, and they're displaced. They're actually living, not displaced, they're living in the burnout home. Someone put a mattress under a car that was parked behind the home that she was living in, and it set fire to it. Burned the house to the ground. Well, not to that. Burned the house beyond repair. Ceilings falling in, it's waterlogged and smoking and charred. But yet this woman, this young lady, is living in the house with her two sons, and this is raising men. And if you are supporters of this show, please support Nikki Dodds, Nicole Dodds, and her GoFundMe effort to get her family out of that house into a place that where they need to be and a little wanting to be in this season. So we're praying for you, Nikki, and for your family, and with blessings of peace and prosperity and protection along the way as you get back in it. So here comes the piece from Nikki Dodds. So please, support her. Check our social media feed. It's going to be right out there. Nicole Dodds on GoFundMe.
My name is Nikki. I have three kids. The two youngest are with me. One's 21, the other is 13. On Friday, we woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Someone had stuffed a mattress under a car in the back and set the car on fire, and when the car exploded, it hit the house and it burnt the house down. So my boys and I didn't have anywhere to go, and the only shelters that were around don't take any animals. And because of the age difference, my boys would have been split up, and they would have been split up with me. I would have to go to a woman's shelter, and then they would have to go separate places, and then of course the animals would have had to go somewhere else. So to keep my family together, we're still living in the house right now. So my girlfriend started a GoFundMe, and we're just trying to get some money together so that we can get out of this house. The roof is starting to fall in. We can still smell fire, and it's just, I don't know what we're breathing in. So I really just want to get my family out of here as quickly as possible.